And our special guest today is Juan Carlos Ordonez from the Oregon Center for Public Policy, Harvard Law School grad, commercial litigator, worked in Guatemala, civic projects, and is now and also freelance journalist in both English and Spanish language publications. Well-traveled and educated person. Juan Carlos, welcome to KMUZ again.
Well, thanks, Mark. Great to be on the show again.
Oh, yes. It's always fun. We have missed you for a few shows. We had Janet for a while.
It has been a while.
It has been a while. So it's really nice to have you back. And let's see here. Revenue is the issue. And I was looking at some numbers, and the unemployment rate is way down. It seems like jobs are flying all over the place. The economy seems to be cooking. And so the budget should be looking great for the, right?
Well, it's an interesting situation that we're in. Yes, the economy is doing very well. Unemployment is down. Revenue collections are up, but I think that what we have to understand is that there's also some cost that the state is facing that we have to deal with. So we are facing, as we found out, about a week ago, by the state economist, the budget shortfall is $1.4 billion. That's what we know now, and what the legislature will have to work with. And the biggest piece of that shortfall are healthcare costs. And so, when Obamacare was first enacted, and we got the Medicaid expansion, so in Oregon, it's the expansion of the Oregon Health Plan. The federal government was paying 100% of that expansion. Going forward, Oregon, the federal government is going to pay 94%. So Oregon will still be getting a great deal by insuring way many more Oregonians that previously didn't have health care coverage. And we are going to be bringing into our state billions of dollars of Medicaid funding. So Oregon is getting a great deal, but going forward, we do have to pony up some money to get all these great benefits. And so the Medicaid expansion is the single biggest cost that the state is now facing, and the single biggest reason for the shortfall. Now, there are others. There's other healthcare inflation, for example, is an important factor. There are measures that were on the November ballot that Oregonians approved, such as Measure 98, which have a significant cost to them. And there's also some costs related to PERS. But so these are the reasons why we're facing a funding shortfall, even though we are in what is otherwise a pretty good economic situation.
So this is real interesting to me because if I'm not mistaken, you know, I know you're closer on these numbers than me. The Medicaid expansion allowed us to cover maybe an additional, say, 400,000 people. Does that sound about right?
You know, I don't have the figure in front of me, so I can't tell you, but it is in the hundreds of thousands.
And we're only having to pony up 6% of their health care costs, and yet it creates a pretty sizable obligation.
Well, it is. Health care is expensive.
and just for just 6%.
And health care costs have been continuing to rise, so... So healthcare is expensive, but the good news is that in this instance, Oregon is getting a very good deal by having the federal government pay for the vast majority of it.
Now, what is the portion of this shortfall that you can attribute to our having to pay that match on the Medicaid on Medicaid folks?
Well, the shortfall on Oregon's healthcare budget, so all the healthcare costs. It's about $1 billion. The biggest part of it is the Medicaid expansion. So I don't have the exact figure in front of me, but it is more than half, the vast majority of that $1 billion.
Wow. So there must be a lot of discussion. It just seems frustrating, probably, for a lot of people in such good times to be looking at cutting budgets and asking people to pay more. It's got to be frustrating down there.
I mean, I was at an education town hall held in Portland this past Saturday, and we heard very heartfelt comments by teachers who are already getting in their schools already receiving pink slips. So staff and teachers are getting notices in preparation for what may be coming in terms of cuts. I think that, you know, we are talking about being in a situation of having a strong economy now in the present moment. I think it's important to look at the long-term perspective, though, when we're talking about revenue, because the reality is that our schools and other essential services have been facing a situation of chronic underfunding for quite a long time.
Yeah, and they just passed huge measure in Portland.
The reality is that our schools here in Oregon, since the 1990s, since the enactment of Measures 5 and 50, our school funding has never really recovered. We've been in a situation of chronic underfunding that has been building. And so while we are facing a $1.4 billion shortfall in the upcoming budget period, the reality is that to really bring our schools up to the level where they ought to be, to provide all kids a quality education, we need a lot more money than that.
Yes.
We don't have here in Oregon a system of universal preschool, which it really is a way to prepare kids for school and to make them succeed, in school. And, you know, that would require additional investment. This morning I just read that tuition is going to go up at Portland State University and the University of Oregon, and that follows on the heels of other universities in our state raising tuition. So, and many Oregonians, despite the Medicaid expansion, still don't have health insurance. So the needs of our people and our state are much bigger than the $1.4 billion. So we think that it is, you know, high time for the legislature to really address the problem. And this session, they need to go beyond the current revenue shortfall and really begin to make serious investments in our state and in our people.
Sure. Well, let's talk about a couple of revenue options, and this one probably going in the wrong direction. It's nice that revenues are up, and because of a quirky demographic, the kicker is coming back into play. And so why don't you talk a little bit about the kicker, its magnitude, and what its problems it's going to address, and also are there any changes to the kicker kicking around in the legislature that has a chance of passing?
Yeah, so once again, we are reminded of how bad public policy the kicker is. And for folks who may not be too familiar with the kicker, the kicker is an automatic tax cut that kicks in when, let's say, you know, back in September 2015, state economists projected that Oregon was going to bring in a certain amount of tax revenue. Right now, they are projecting that the revenue is going to come in slightly above 2% of what they were predicting almost 2 years ago. So when that happens, the full amount of extra revenue that's collected, if projections hold until September, this kicker will become official. And then taxpayers will get the full unanticipated revenue back in their next tax return as a credit.
Wow.
So it's an automatic tax cut, in essence. The problem is that, you know, 2% is a very small margin of error. And so every now and then, the state economists, they don't have a perfect crystal ball. So more revenue comes in. This is what's so frustrating about it, that this is the perfect situation to put money away in our rainy day fund to save for the bad times. As you mentioned, we're living in a situation where we have a strong economy. During those periods, unanticipated revenue should be put aside for those days when the economy is not so strong, or when we're facing an actual recession, as has been the case in the past. And yet the kicker prevents us from doing that very thing that Oregon needs. Another possibility would be simply to take that money, the unanticipated revenue, which is, by the way, about $400 million. We're talking about a $400 million kicker. Automatic tax cut next year.
Wow,
that $400 million would put a sizable dent in the shortfall for the upcoming budget period.
It sure would.
And yet, we are on course right now to spend it on this automatic tax cut. Now, this is a constitutional provision, but the Constitution does allow for 2/3 of the legislature to suspend the kicker. And so we would hope that the lawmakers would do the responsible thing, the fiscally conservative thing, and not spend that kicker money, but rather put it towards addressing our revenue shortfall. Now, politically, that is there seems to be there hasn't been much interest right now shown by the legislature to do that.
Now the way I read conservatism these days, it seems to me that the conservative option would be to return it to the taxpayers.
Well, it's politically, you know, the kicker is, it seems like free money, and so it's going back to taxpayers, and so I understand that politically it's a hard thing to do. And yet we elect our lawmakers to hopefully do the right thing. And so, yes, the fiscally conservative thing to do would be to save that anticipated revenue. It would be, you know, saving it for a rainy day, for when Oregon's economy is not doing so well.
Go ahead.
But that's the situation that we're in, where we're on right now on course of having this spending $400 million next budget period on the kicker.
Yeah, and that's $400 million. And there was a real interesting fact that you guys dug up about the revenue projection and the actual revenues and having to do with the estate tax. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Oh, well, yeah. And, you know, part of the reason why the kicker is kicking is because a few more very wealthy, the kicker is kicking by a fairly small amount. It's about a $70 million level over which we're over the 2% threshold. And the estate tax is bringing in more than that amount. So in essence, the estate tax is making the kicker kick. And so just to put it in plain language, a few more ultra-wealthy people died in Oregon than were expected. And so that the estate tax is bringing in is what's making the kicker kick, which is, you know, state economists can't predict when people die for sure. So it just again confirms what bad public policy the kicker is. And just so folks also understand, before they get all too excited about the kicker refund that could be coming their way, the typical Oregonian, the Oregonian in the middle of the income scale, will be getting a kicker of about $85.
Woo!
So not a whole lot. The average member of the top 1% is going to get a kicker of $4,500. So it's definitely a tax cut that's heavily skewed towards those at the top. The top 20% in Oregon are going to get 70% of the kicker.
Wow.
So the rest, the other 80%, you know, will divvy up that remaining 30%. So it's bad public policy. It's a tax cut mainly for the rich, and really, it's lawmakers should be acting responsibly and putting that money towards addressing the current revenue shortfall.
Yeah, and this thing is always sold as, you know, a big boon to the middle class and, you know, helping families and all that stuff. But the numbers don't seem to play that out.
No, I mean, the reality is that ordinary folks, the middle class, would be better off making sure that we don't have cuts to our schools and other essential services, or at least saving that money for the day when the economy is in trouble and we need to, and we're in dire situation and having to avoid raising taxes or avoiding cuts in our public services.
Now, we used to have a little history lesson you can give us here. We used to have a corporate tax kicker, and they changed that, didn't they? Or is that, am I remembering that correctly?
That's right. There used to be a corporate kicker as well, and this this year it would be kicking, but rather the money now will go to will be saved for a rainy day. There was a ballot measure 2 years, 2.5 years ago, I think it was in 2016, or no, I can't remember the exact
sure.
year. But in recent years, we had a ballot measure that basically did away with the corporate kicker and requires that the anticipated corporate revenue that comes above that the unanticipated corporate revenue is put away for a rainy day.
Well, corporate revenue in Oregon seems to be a dwindling feature.
Well, yes, and that's I was just about to point that out, that the corporate kicker is much smaller than the personal income tax kicker because, as you say, the corporate income tax is really a shadow of its former self. If we go back to the 1970s, the corporate income tax was bringing in about 18% of all income taxes collected by Oregon, more than 18%. Today, that contribution has declined to less than 7%.
Wow.
And it's projected to continue to decline in the years to come.
Now, what would cause that? What kind of changes has caused that to happen?
Well, there's been several factors at play. One of those is that there's been a surge in corporate tax subsidies and loopholes, both at the federal level, and Oregon links its tax code to the federal. It's linked to the federal tax code in terms of its definition of taxable income. So, what that means is that if Congress enacts certain corporate tax loopholes and subsidies, they automatically become part of the Oregon tax code. That said, Oregon lawmakers here have not been shy about giving away tax subsidies and loopholes as well. And so in the past few decades, we've seen a rise in those corporate tax subsidies and loopholes. That's one factor. Another factor is aggressive tax avoidance by corporations. They have armies of accountants and lawyers that help them move their profits around to jurisdictions where they can avoid paying taxes or greatly reducing their tax bill. So, so we know of offshore tax havens, for example,
mm-hmm.
But it's sort of the moving of profits around is the way that they avoid paying the corporate income tax. And then another big factor has been the rise of corporate entities that are not subject to the corporate income tax. For example, we've seen an increase in the number of limited liability companies, S corporations or limited liability partnerships. These types of corporate forms are not subject to the corporate income tax.
Wow.
And by and large, and so the profits flow directly to the owners, where they are taxed on the personal income side.
Ah, okay. So at least they're taxed in some way, shape, or form. Do you have any examples in your back pocket of some of the tax subsidies that Oregon has specifically laid out to corporations?
There's the one of our favorite examples to show is the research and development tax credit, where corporations get subsidized for doing something that they would do anyway, because
they have to if they want to move forward.
Technology
yeah.
companies, if you live and die by the research that you do, right? So, and yet we provide them subsidies to do that very thing. Some sessions ago in the legislature, there was an executive from a very big technology company, Tektronix, who was testifying, asking for an expansion of the research and development tax credit. And when he was asked, what would the company do differently if they didn't get this bigger subsidy? He said, well, the reality is that it wouldn't change anything. We would do the same thing. So, and that's the case for many of the tax subsidies that the corporations do, that they're really just paying them to do what they would otherwise do.
But the research and development, isn't that a legitimate cost of doing business anyways?
Yes, it's part of what they do and part of what they will do, whether or not they get a subsidy.
So it's already reducing their taxes just by doing it, because they're certainly going to write it off.
Right. Well, they're and it's also something that they can't. You're not incentivizing any new activity. You're paying them to do what they otherwise would do. So it is a situation now where the corporate income tax is a very, like I said, it's a shadow of its former self. And so the discussion right now in the legislature is actually, there's a joint tax reform committee that's been set up to help address the revenue shortfall, but also many of us hope go beyond that and really begin to make a serious investment in our education and in other essential services. So this joint committee on tax reform has been discussing actually doing away with the corporate income tax and replacing it with a commercial activities tax, to put it differently, it's a tax on gross receipts.
Okay.
On business sales in Oregon.
Sounds like they're trying a little marketing with a new name.
Yeah. Yes. And so that's where the discussion has been in the legislature, in this idea of enacting a commercial activities tax that would replace the corporate income tax.
Now, is that proposal like pretty solid? Now, we were talking about a certain percentage of businesses doing over 5 million or something like that. Do you have any specifics on that proposal?
Well, there's been several concepts that have been floated. There is one proposal that was put forward by the House leadership, which is called the Oregon Education Investment Initiative.
Mm-hmm.
And this proposal it's a package that would include some cost containment, some reductions to potentially to PERS in other ways of saving several hundred million dollars, but also enacting this commercial activities tax and doing away with the corporate income tax. At the end of the day, this would raise about $2 billion more, and the bulk of it would go to education, K-12 schools.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this proposal would apply to corporations with Oregon sales of $5 million and more. And so there's other proposals that have been discussed that would begin at a lower level. So, for example, there's a concept that was introduced just this past week that would begin at $3 million. So there's different ideas that have been proposed. And the Oregon Investment Initiative, the House Leadership Plan, would establish a 0.995% rate on gross receipts on Oregon sales above that $5 million threshold.
Well, it's real interesting because I noticed just even as the session was just barely organizing and getting started, I started seeing lots of advertisements about, you know, the new tax on sales and we shouldn't do it. I mean, the kind of money that they're putting forth to prevent this and bill any tax on corporations as a tax on individuals. It's a pretty tough obstacle to battle, because perceptions, you know, are everything, and it's really hard to get people to really understand what's going on, where the money is coming from, and who pays.
Yes, even before this joint committee had been formed and had started its work, but even very early in the session, dark money started flowing in Oregon and setting up a political action committee to try to poison the well and basically kill any idea of corporate tax reform centered on a commercial activities tax. So, yes, they began to beat the drum again that this is just a hidden sales tax, and which was their successful strategy in defeating Measure 97 back in November.
Sure.
So they started quickly trying to kill this idea. There is encouraging news, though, that some businesses have come forward and said, you know, we really need to do something here. I mean, I think that there's a part of the business community that recognizes that if we want to have a good education system here that benefits business, that creates a strong foundation for our state, we need to invest in education, and that, you know, businesses need to step up to the plate. And I think that there are some within the business community that recognize that and have come forward. But there are definitely those that are trying to poison the well and are spending money to defeat this effort.
Well, it does seem like, I don't know, it almost seems to me that business has the most to gain from state tax expenditures and infrastructure and the education of their workforce and the health of their workforce. I can't imagine why a business wouldn't want to have a healthy, educated workforce and smooth roads.
I agree. I mean,
I'm confused.
These investments are really what really provide quality of life and a great business climate. And we know from the research that the best thing that a state can do is to invest in education. That will create a more productive workforce in the long run. If we want to compete worldwide, you know, we need to invest in our education system. There's simply no way to go about it. And we need good roads. We need a good transportation system to move goods to and from. And, you know, businesses will definitely benefit from it. So it's really unfortunate and short-sighted for them to be coming out and really poisoning the well, really preventing any kind of progress from being done.
Well, almost even a discussion, you know.
Yes, and, you know, what's so strange is that, you know, for decades now, for quite a while, it used to be that the business community was often in what they really were advocating for was the enactment of a sales tax, and either reducing or replacing the personal income,
well,
or at least reducing the personal income tax and enacting a sales tax.
Well, you just stole my question.
So now they try to undermine the commercial activities tax by trying to paint it sales tax, which it is not.
Yeah.
We have to be clear on that, that it is most definitely not a sales tax. But it is, in essence, sort of poisoning the well for any kind of reform that could happen.
I think, you know, one of the important things is that, the way I wanted to ask this question was that the business community kills a corporate tax by calling it a sales tax, but my question to you would be, well, would the business community actually support a real sales tax? And you're telling me yes.
Well, what I'm saying is that they have in the past. I think it would be really interesting to go and ask them, you know, whether they still support the enactment of a sales tax. I'm not sure what they would say or how they would square that. If they said yes, how they would square it with their opposition to Measure 97, or for those that are opposing the current efforts, with how they would square it with their current opposition.
Hmm. Are there any revenue discussions in the transportation era that could pass?
You know, I'm not so familiar with the details of the transportation package that's being discussed. So in the Capitol discussions as to the odds that the transportation package will be enacted.
Hmm. Okay. Well, by state constitution, we need to balance the budget, so they've got to enact something.
Well, they have to enact something to address the $1.4 billion
yes.
shortfall. So the options are there are two ways of going about it: are through cutting schools and other essential services, or raising revenue, or a combination of both.
Sure.
And so our hope is that the legislature will, again, raise revenue to address all or pretty much all or the vast majority of the current revenue shortfall, but go beyond that and begin to make investments that will make Oregon improve the quality of life for our people, the services that really benefit all Oregonians and benefit our economy in the long term.
Do you have anything more to say about corporate taxes?
Yeah, I do have one more point to make about the plan to reform our corporate taxes, corporate income tax system. You know, if a commercial activities tax does get enacted, we think that it needs to address the concern that some portion of the tax could be and likely would be passed onto consumers. There's good ways of going about it, and there's better ways of going about blunting the impact for low and moderate income Oregonians and not so good ways. And the discussions that have been taking place right now in the legislature is taking the not very effective approach, which is the way they would do it is to lower tax rates, lower the tax brackets, at least the three lowest tax brackets. The reason why we see that as problematic is because it's not a very well targeted way of addressing the problem. Because what you end up doing then is giving a tax break to the Phil Knights of the world, to all the well-off people, in addition to all taxpayers. So again, it's not very well targeted. You are giving a tax break to folks who really don't need it, and that's money that would be better served. That's revenue that we could be investing in education. So you'd be reducing the amount of money that the tax reform would bring in. There's a much more targeted way, which is basically creating a commercial activities tax credit, a new tax credit that would be based on income and family size. But it would be well targeted to help those to hold harmless those at the bottom and middle.
Sure.
From any potential impact from this commercial activities tax. So we like some of the discussions that have been a lot of the discussion that has been taking place in the legislature, especially the House leadership plan that would raise about $2 billion more. We think that that plan could be improved by putting in place, rather than having a lowering of the tax rates, putting mm-hmm. in its place a commercial activities tax credit.
Sure. Well, I guess this is one of the reasons that I think that you're focusing and a lot of people are focusing on corporate taxes is I'd like you to remind folks where Oregon sits compared to all the other states in this country in terms of corporate taxation.
Well, the figures you may be referring to a study done by the Council on State Taxation, which is basically a lobby group for some of the biggest corporations in the country. And they publish I believe it's annual study of business tax rankings. So it's not strictly speaking corporations, but business tax rankings. And historically, Oregon has always been at the bottom or very near the bottom of these rankings. So we looked at all the rankings going back over a decade, I believe, since the very earliest ranking that we could find, and Oregon has always been at the bottom or very near the bottom, mm-hmm. and that's the reality, and that's confirmed by other things that we know. For example, the share of the corporate income tax, the share of income taxes that are paid by corporations, which has declined quite significantly, as I mentioned before. Corporations or businesses, I should say, are paying a lot less in, relatively speaking, in property taxes as well, compared to what they used to pay before Measures 5 and 50. They don't pay a sales tax here in Oregon because we don't have a sales tax. So there's for a number of reasons, the corporate contribution is really low, and according to the Council on State Taxation, we are the lowest we're always the lowest or very near the bottom in terms of business taxes.
That's interesting because I've always hear from business groups that Oregon has a horrible business climate, and it's, you know, and there's little here to attract business from the tax structure and all this. And I never got that. And I think this is good evidence to show that taxes are not a major player in what makes businesses choose to locate.
Well, that's absolutely right. And that's taxes are not a very significant factor, if at all, in where businesses choose to locate. It's something that is, the research has shown quite well. It's, you know, if you think about it, back in 2010, Oregon enacted what was a modest increase of the corporate income tax. We raised the corporate income tax rate. Again, it was a modest increase, but back then business was talking as if the world was going to come to an end, that businesses were going to flee the state and whatnot. And the reality is that that no one could really find any business that was that left the state as a result, or any business that didn't come to Oregon because of that modest increase. And Oregon's economy has been performing quite strongly. We have had some of the strongest economic growth in the nation since then. And so and the reality is that businesses, the factors that they look at are the quality of the infrastructure, the access to their customers, the availability of a quality workforce.
Mm-hmm.
And the quality of life where their executives. Where their executives may want to live, or their talented workers may want to live. They want to be in a place where that's attractive to live, that has good public services, good schools for their employees' kids, health care. Those are the kinds of things that attract businesses.
Yeah, and those things need revenue, and the state needs to step up and make those things happen.
And that's absolutely right.
Yep. Juan Carlos Ordonez, it's always a pleasure to speak with you here on Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ. And I appreciate your input. And hopefully those guys can roll up their sleeves and get this hole closed.
Well, thanks, Mark. And that's our hope as well.
Okay. So we're going to go out of this interview. Oh, yeah. First, if people want to know more about Oregon Center for Public Policy, give folks all the info so they can follow your work.
Yes, thanks. So all our work is published is available on our website, ocpp.org. Again, ocpp.org. And on our website, there's a place where you can, at the upper right-hand corner, where there's a place where you can sign up to receive our email updates. And so we alert folks of when we have a new publication.
Great. Thank you once again. And we're going to go out of this interview with a song by Charlie King. Slightly related, it's called Trickle Up, here on The Muse, KMUZ. Thank you once again.
Bye-bye.
They say if you took all the money on earth and dispensed equal portions to each child at birth,